The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Good afternoon. I'm Jim Stanley, sitting in for Brother Bert Harper, and it's my privilege to be in studio with Dr. Alex McFarland. Now, Alex, in addition to being an evangelist, and in addition to be a debater of apologetics, a teacher of apologetics, you're also a professor at college.
Well, yeah. I tell people I have to teach to support my preaching habit.
Tell us where you're at.
North Greenville University, which is a great school. It's a thoroughly, thoroughly Christian school. Been around since 1892. It's in the upstate of South Carolina, just super-duper beautiful. And I've been there 6 years teaching apologetics. Mm-hmm. And we've got a center for apologetics and Christian worldview. And so it's been our joy to put on some events, and we've got a thing called the Life Answers Team. These are students that we've mentored, and we go around to churches and do things and have them speak. And so North Greenville's a great school, and I teach adjunctively at some other universities around the nation, but my main teaching gig is at North Greenville.
All right. And you have a couple of projects going on with American Family Studios?
Well, we do. You know, we did this video with Jeff Shambly, and oh my goodness, the credit goes to his incredible team. We did a thing called the 21 Toughest Questions Your Kids Will Ask About God, mm-hmm. and it won an award last year. The International Christian Visual Media Association had a meeting in Cincinnati, and we got this Best Curriculum Video Award, and I think it's done very well. I know it's at AFA Store. 21 Toughest Questions, and a lot of churches are using it as Wednesday night study or something yeah. like that. And then we did a thing called Behold Your God, or The God Who Speaks.
God Who Speaks.
The God Who Speaks, which is just coming out. I don't think it's out yet.
It's not. It'd be released later this year.
And you know, one of the points of apologetics is defending that the Bible is, yes, indeed, the inspired, inerrant Word of God. And American Family Studios has assembled an amazing crew of people like, well, myself and Josh McDowell and Erwin Lutzer and mm-hmm. just some amazing scholars that talk about what I'm going to say right now, Jim. I'm going to say this. I've spent 30 years with my nose in a book.
Yeah.
And I'm more convinced than ever that, yes, the Bible is the inerrant, infallible Word of God. There's nothing that I've ever come across that shakes that conviction.
Right.
And our heartbeat on this show is that you can trust your Bible.
Amen. Now, folks, one of the reasons we don't, you know, we talk about Alex and we're proud of him and love him to death and glad of the thing, or love him to life. Love him to death's always been an odd phrase. I'm never sure.
I'm just happy y'all love me, and it's definitely mutual.
Well, and folks, you can have Alex at your church by visiting alexmcfarland.com, and he'd be more than happy. It doesn't matter if you're a church of 50 or 50,000. I've said that before, but his heart is pure. Now, the reason that I have set all that up, okay. You have a doctorate of divinity.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. You have any other doctorates I don't know about?
Got a couple of honorary that were thrown my way.
Okay. So, folks, overall, what I'm telling you is we are incredibly blessed to have a biblical scholar on this show. Now, I'm a pastor. Bert's a pastor. We've studied the Gospels. But what we're telling you is we have someone who rightly divides the word of truth. And I say that because today we're going to talk about one of the most controversial topics in the Bible and among believers today. I mean, this is worse than Republicans and Democrats.
Now, that's saying a lot.
But today we're going to talk about one of the core truths of Christianity, and we're going to talk about Christ's return. Folks, make no doubt about it. When the angels stood at the ascension and asked, "Why are you standing there gazing that this same Jesus will come again as he was taken in like manner?" He's coming back.
Yeah.
And Now, the arguments take place as to when, where, how. So, Alex, tell us the date and time.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. But I am absolutely convinced. You know, one of the core truths of Christianity is that Christ is literally, physically mm-hmm. going to return.
Right.
And this is not wishful thinking. And I've heard people say, well, you know, every time somebody becomes a Christian, it's like the return of Christ. It's a metaphorical, you know, heaven comes in their heart. No, one of the core truths is that Christ literally is going to return. Now, think about this. The Bible is God's inspired word. That's a core truth of the faith.
Right.
Christ is born of a virgin. Christ is deity, God incarnate.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was deity, he could atone for our sins. And then he rose from the grave. So think about this. Inspiration of Scripture, virgin birth, deity, atonement, resurrection. That's five. The fifth core truth is yet to happen. But God has a pretty good track record of keeping his promises,
right,
doesn't he?
He absolutely does.
I get this at a lot of universities. They'll say, really, do you really believe Jesus is coming back? Jim, I was convinced. Steve and I were in here, and I knew any second Jim Stanley's going to walk through that door and we're going to record.
Right.
I was convinced, and sure enough, here you are. You did. I am absolutely as convinced as the thumbs on my hands that, yes, Jesus is going to return.
Amen. And you know, when we look in Revelation, and one of my favorite verses there, that he is coming again, and there will be the time that we stand before him, and he will wipe the tears from our eyes.
Yeah.
Doesn't say why those tears are there. They can be tears of joy or tears of heartbreak from where we failed him when we should have done so much more. But we have an advocate who is Christ the Lord. But he's going to wipe away all tears from our eyes. So when people say there's no tears in heaven, that's not entirely true.
You're right. That's very true.
And so, but because he's come and brought us unto himself, he's going to wipe away those tears. And then there's not going to be any more pain. Mm-hmm. There's not going to be any more death, because those things will have passed away and will be with Christ forever. So we know he's coming. We know why he's coming. But the book says we don't know when he's coming.
We just don't. It says be watchful, be ready, be faithful. You know, stay on your toes. I will tell you this. I think the Word of God, you know, it doesn't give a secret code whereby,
right,
you can divine, okay, it's going to be this or that. Folks, if somebody tells you they can calculate the date of Christ's return, don't believe them.
Right.
Because no one knows the day or the hour. But we do know we're supposed to be watchful and be ready.
Yeah, absolutely. As I was thinking about that, one of the things that I pray, and it's selfishly motivated in one sense, but while we are supposed to say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus, my prayer is that he delays,
yeah,
that he tarries long enough for those that I love to come back to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I know that's selfish, but also for the man on the street corner who doesn't have a dime, who may be homeless and has no hope, that he could find the hope of Christ.
Yeah.
That the people who are in the uttermost parts of the earth might hear. But my main motivation, while I do want everybody to say be saved, Christ wants everyone to be saved because he came and gave his life for everyone. But I do pray, Lord Jesus, tarry.
Yeah.
And I don't think that that's bad, you know, and please correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. I don't think that's a bad prayer, but it, you know, we are supposed to be, and I think that's one of the ways we're found watching and waiting,
yeah,
is that we are in prayer and that we are praying for those that we love, that we're praying for those that may have gone astray, that they would be able, that they would be reunited with Christ. And so, Alex, when we look at that, you start this with a story of a breakfast with a friend of yours.
You know, in Huntersville, North Carolina, and I've seen this young man grow up from about 3 years old, but there's a minister, a youth pastor named Daniel Ritchie. And Daniel Ritchie, and he's married now. He's smart. He's personable. He's a great youth pastor. I took him to breakfast one time, in fact, many times, and we were sitting there in a little cafe eating scrambled eggs and bacon. And the reason that a lot of people would watch and stare at Daniel Ritchie is because Daniel was born without any arms.
Mm.
Now, with amazing skill, he uses his feet to do everything. Drives a car, fork and knife, cuts his meal, eats it. It's just uncanny. I mean, it's just unreal what he can do. Has way better penmanship than me. Many times we've been in meetings where he's got a pen, he's taking notes. But I remember I was interviewing him for a book, and I said, you know, one of the core truths is Christ is going to return. And he smiled. He said, I know. I said, you know, we're all going to get a brand new body. He said, oh, Alex, believe me. I know.
Amen.
Because he was thinking, one day he'll have a body without arms.
Right.
I'm always convicted.
With arms.
With arms. I'm sorry. I'm always convicted when I'm around Daniel Ritchie because he is this guy exudes joy.
Mm.
Now, if gasoline goes up 10 cents, I get bummed out.
Right.
Here's a guy who right now doesn't have arms, serving the Lord to the nth degree, happiest guy in the world. But see, Titus 2:13 calls Christ's return the blessed hope.
Right.
Part of it is because, look, we're going to be with Jesus. We're going to get reunited with loved ones. Jim, there's going to be a day where there's no more cancer.
Right.
There's going to be a day when there's no more heartbreak, no more tears, as you said, no more birth defects, no more violence, no more baggage. And let me just say this. Maybe you came up and you've had a lot of verbal abuse. Every now and then I meet people and they came up under just very, very abusive parents or something like that. And it's hard to get beyond that. And you know the old saying, hurt people hurt people.
Right.
There's going to be a day when not only God has saved our soul, transformed our body, but healed our emotions.
Mm.
And all of this, that's why Christ's return is a blessed, joyous, wonderful hope, because he's going to make all things new.
Amen. And when we think of that and what it said in Titus 2:13, the reason I don't think that we can fully comprehend, I really don't. I don't think that we can fully comprehend what this new heaven and this new earth is like. Had an email from a listener the other day, and they were talking about heaven, and they were asking the question is, why would God, Christ, take us to return to him, to come back and sit over this world? And my thought was, you know, ultimately, there's going to be a new heaven, and there's going to be a new earth. So it will be unspoiled, just as God intended this earth to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the hope that we as Christians should have, and that we should – but that's why I say I don't think we fully comprehend truly what all the Lord – you know, I know there's a hymn that says we cannot comprehend, but I really think that truly – we are going to be amazed at Christ's return.
Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those that love him.
Amen.
This is Exploring the Word. Jim Stanley, Alex McFarland. We're going to give you some scripture on the return of Christ. Don't go away. We're back after this brief break.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this family, Jeremy and Sharon, and a couple kids, and they're all very healthy, and they did something to save money. They switched from health insurance to MediShare, and then they had a third baby, a little girl named Anya, and she was very sick.
We've had a lot of hospital visits.
A whole week in a children's hospital, CAT scans and blood tests and chemical tests, and I think we saw a dozen doctors. It was all shared.
Yeah, the bills were shared by the other members of MediShare. That's how this works. So get this, they save hundreds a month, they don't have to deal with health insurance companies or government health care plans, and they get to be part of a community that cares.
MediShare has always been there for us and helped meet the needs that we have as a family.
It's no wonder this is growing so fast. It is worth looking into. Here's how. Call 855-PSALM-23. Now, it's available everywhere but Montana. 855-PSALM-23.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert. You're listening to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk. AFR Talk. AFR Talk.
Let the power of your words dwell here richly, changing the ways that I see. Fill me with otherly wisdom, plant me deep like a tree by the stream.
Do you know that roughly 25 to 30% of the entire Word of God deals with prophecy, future things? And it says in Revelation 1 verse 3, happy is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear, take heart to what is written, because the time is near. Notice, to be mindful of the fact that Christ is going to return, there's a blessedness, a happiness there. And there's blessedness in hearing and heeding what it says too. One of the signs of the last days is a widespread belief in uniformitarianism. But the way things are, Jim, is not the way things are always going to be.
Oh, absolutely. You know, when you think of the way it's laid out and the different ways that we see it coming, or worse yet, don't see it coming.
Yeah.
You know, where we want to stick our head in the sand and just say, well, this, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. It's going to happen whether I believe it or not. It doesn't hinge my salvation, believing that he's going to come again. And so you look at these different factors, and you have to come to the point that you say, you know what? It does matter.
Yeah.
Because of one of the things you just said there in that scripture. And then as we look forward to the hope that he has, it reaffirms what you said earlier. There's not going to be any more cancer. There's not going to be any more AIDS. There's not going to be any more this. There's not going to be any more that. But we should be able to provide a simple explanation of why it matters to the Christian faith.
Yeah.
And it goes back to what you said earlier. It is the sense, the culmination of everything, from the prophecies that began in Genesis to the prophecies that end in Revelation. They all point to one thing.
Yeah. Well, and you know, there's general eschatology, what's going to happen to the whole universe. And then there's personal eschatology,
right?
What's going to happen to me? Now, there's an old song. It says, what will you do with Jesus? He's done so much for you. One day your soul will be asking, what will he do with me?
Right.
But think about this. All of the pomp and glory and grandeur of human history. And we've had everything from the works of Beethoven to the Ford Mustang.
Right.
Life is amazing, isn't it?
It absolutely is, especially if you own a 68 Mustang or 69. Those are super cool.
That's amazing. But look, it's all going to be gone and forgotten, isn't it?
Right. It is.
When the kingdom of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever, when Jesus' kingdom is ushered in, you're going to forget about that. Look, the greatest things this world ever had to offer are going to pale in comparison to the indescribable beauty of heaven.
Yeah.
And the great news is Jesus wants you there.
Yes, he does.
He's built a city with streets of gold, foundations of jewels. He says, look, and I want you to be there. In fact, I'll build you a mansion.
Right.
I'll have it ready for you when I come.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned earlier that Jesus talked about his own return even before his death.
He did.
And so give us a couple of key verses out of Matthew.
Well, yeah, and every gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, for one thing, in Matthew 7, we alluded to, Jesus, will preside over the final judgment day.
Right.
He says the Father has delegated all judgment to the Son.
All right. We do have limited time, and I'm sorry to chase a squirrel, but it's a question. How will he be judge and advocate?
Great question. Well, he's advocate now.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? We have an advocate before the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Now, in terms of the born-again believers, he might, you know, present his bride, a spotless body, and say, Father, these are my redeemed.
Right.
I shed my blood, and the righteousness of of heaven was imputed to them. But do you know what? At the great white throne, and I really tend to think that's what Matthew 7, 21 through 23 is thinking of, because very following that, it says, I never knew you.
Right.
He's not going to be the advocate.
No, that's – and
you see what I'm saying?
So and that's what I kind of meant for you to bring out. I was hoping you would do that.
Yeah.
Because when we look at that, we have to understand that when the Scripture tells you that he is at the right hand of the Father, sitting or standing, dependent upon which verse you read and what he's doing at that particular time, but he is making intercession for us.
Yes.
He's pleading our case before the Father even now. And then as you mentioned, because of his grace, because of his blood – right, not our righteousness, but his righteousness is imputed to us. And so, like I said, I didn't mean to sidetrack us there, but I did want folks to understand the difference between advocate and judge.
Well, let me say this. There have been, in the internet age, a lot of people that like to make fun of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, right now, he's offering to be a friend of the court on your behalf.
Right.
You know, in legal parlance, they'll talk about an amicus brief.
Right.
And let's say you were going to be tried for something, and I write a paper and I say, look, I've known him 10 years. Jim Stanley is forthright, honest, and I write an amicus paper, a friend of the court, on your behalf. But let me say, there will come a day when Christ puts on the hat of prosecuting attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And my dear friend, you don't want to be there when he moves from advocate to prosecutor.
Amen.
Because his judgment is righteous. And listen, I don't want to be morose or anything like that. But look, it says in Matthew 16, he'll come in glory. He'll sit on his throne. Matthew 19, Matthew 24, 36 through 44, he'll come at an unexpected time. Do you remember Luke 12, the rich man?
Yeah.
And he goes, I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger barns. I will say to my soul, soul, you have much goods laid up for many years. And Jesus said, thou fool, you don't know that this very night your soul will be required of you.
Right.
Look, none of us have a guarantee of tomorrow.
Right.
But we've got right now. And that's why we beg and we urge, call on Jesus.
Amen.
I admit I'm a sinner. I believe he's the Son of God. I turn to him from sin. And so turn to Christ while you have time. In the Gospel of Mark, you remember he said, if you acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before the Father.
Right.
Mark 8:38, he says, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before the Father.
Yeah. And that's sad to think of. You know, I think that's where some of those who have not come to know him as Savior, but they go and preach in his name. They go and teach in his name. And again, they understand what the name is. They just don't understand who the person is behind the name. Those are going to be the ones that I think he's going to be ashamed of.
Yeah.
And not just those, but then the ones that have denied him, those that have never accepted him. There is, and you're very aware that with every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. And so the action of us denying him returns and proves itself out that he will deny us.
Yeah. I know we have a lot of young people that listen because we hear from you, and it really does mean the world to us. When you get to college, teenagers, there's going to be pressure to conform. And come on, do you really believe the Bible, the creation story? You really believe the flood of Noah? You really believe Jesus is the one and only way? Yes. Don't ever be ashamed. Because here's the thing. You affirm Jesus, and they might laugh at you or make fun of you. Big deal. They didn't hang on a cross and die for you.
Right.
You know? Listen, I assure you, when I've been in places where somebody comes to the mic and shakes their finger and screams at me, there's like a peace that comes over me. Because I know those people need Jesus.
Yeah.
So, young people, Mark 8 says, don't be ashamed of him. Don't be ashamed to confidently say, absolutely, I believe the Bible.
Yeah.
I believe Christ and his word. Mark talks about that he's going to gather his chosen ones from every direction. He's going to return in power and glory. Luke 12, 35 talks about he's going to come at a time we don't know and we should watch, you know. Luke 17 talks about it will come like a bolt of lightning.
Yeah, because, you know, and when I was driving home from work the other day, Abigail, my youngest daughter, was with me. And we drove in to a thunderstorm. And I mean, we got into some hail. And then she had her phone out looking at the weather app that she has. And it says, well, it's recorded lightning about a mile and a half from us. And about that time, a huge bolt of lightning came down that may have been probably, you know how it always looks closer than it is? It was probably about a half mile away, but I fully expected it to come inside of my truck. And so as quick as that was, as bright as that was, everyone in that community noticed that bolt of lightning. Imagine Christ's return when everybody in the world notices that bolt of lightning.
In the Gospel of John, he talks about he's prepared a place.
Right.
And then, again, he reiterates that, you know, we just don't know the time. But we know he's coming. He's coming soon. And we need to be ready.
Amen. Now, Alex, as we begin to wrap up the program, I want you, and folks, again, we'll make these notes available for you at our Facebook page. They'll be there. You have something to help us remember about the fact that Christ is coming, and there are the six core beliefs. Go through that with us, if you would.
Well, thank you. And now this might sound a little weird. This is how I remember stuff, Jim. I make up acronyms.
Right.
So think of this, the word IVDAR. And you might be thinking, what? But IVDARR. Folks, you'll have a degree in theology if you can remember this. IVDAR, IVDARR. Inspiration of Scripture, virgin birth, deity, atonement, resurrection, return.
Amen.
I was at a church to preach, and a pastor, he said, look, in the kindergarten class, the teacher didn't show up. I hate to ask you, but would you go down there and just say something to the little kindergartners? I said, sure. I taught them this acronym.
Mm.
Okay, I come back to this church about a year later. Little boy runs down the hall, runs right up to me, smiles, and he goes, IVDAR. And he had it about 95% memorized. Now, notice Christian biblical orthodoxy, these all hang together.
Right.
I mean, if you take away the virgin birth, then he wasn't deity and wasn't qualified to die for our sins.
Right.
If you take away the atonement, I mean, we don't, but all together, you put those together, we've got a gospel.
Amen. Folks, that's Dr. Alex McFarland. More information on him and resources on some of the books that he has at alexmcfarland.com. Thanks for letting me hang out.
All right. Yeah, thanks for doing such a great job.
All right. Folks, this is Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. You can find the podcast at afr.net. Find the podcast at afr.net. Have a great afternoon. Stick around. My friend Tony Perkins with Washington Watch comes your way next on American Family Radio.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.